What's good, family? Welcome to the Modern Hoops Podcast, a show with the freshest opinions and views on the world's most beautiful game. I'm your host, Greg, and I'm here with the homies, the squad, the best starting five, minus the homeboy, TK, and the boy, Leek. We got Brian here. We got Dunk Man, Keith, boys. How are we feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. Like I said, can't complain. Got Wisdom Tooth full today, so...
And he's feeling good. Good enough to do a pod.
That's where I'm at. Right,
that's really good.
That boy crazy.
That's really good. Anybody who just
and school's out
got a tooth pulled. That's true. And says, "Hey, I want to come pod today."
Actively, he was ready. He was like, "Hey, we doing this, right?"
So I was like,
"Okay."
Yeah, I had nothing else to do today.
Okay. I mean, you did. Ooh, you did it.
Yeah, I did. You did it. You should rest.
My phone was at 7 o'clock in the morning. Like, I've been chilling.
Hey, man.
Keith, how you doing? Because I don't know what to tell him. You don't understand rest the whole day.
I would say
you don't
get it. Better than Brian. If I had to guess.
Hey, man. We appreciate everyone who's watching the show, everyone who's listening, whether it's on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts.
What else?
Google Podcast, Spotify, Stitcher.
Stitcher.
Where else we at? Y'all know. Y'all listening, y'all know. We appreciate y'all. Y'all know what to do, man. Rate, review. Like I said before, 5 stars, 4 stars. Anything below that, y'all can keep that. If you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. My mama say it best. If you're watching on YouTube, we appreciate you. Y'all know what to do there. Keep doing it. Subscribe, like, comment below to join the conversation. We appreciate the conversation and the love that y'all been showing us on all the platforms, man.
Thank you.
It's been so much appreciated. Even through, like, a lot of the other stuff that we've been going through, like the days we missed. I don't know why I feel like doing this, y'all, but we missed days. We missed weeks. A lot of y'all supported the shirts we put out. I donated too many. Stuff like that, like, Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Oh, man. It's so greatly appreciated. We'll give y'all more information on Instagram and Twitter in terms of how much was made and donated to Too Many. So y'all know that we did not keep that money ourselves. That was donated. We told y'all we were going to do that. So we're going to make sure we highlight that on our social media as well. We got a lot to talk about today, man. A lot to talk about. NBA playoffs is still going on.
Active.
But
we in thick of it.
They're active.
Offseason stuff are happening left and right. And yes, we're talking about Boston traded Kemba Walker to the Thunder. Rick Carlisle resigned as the head coach of Dallas Mavericks. They fired Donnie Nelson as GM.
It was a mutual parting of ways.
He was fired. You could tell whatever you want to say.
It was a mutual parting of ways.
Washington Wizards parted ways with Scott Brooks.
He got fired.
I mean, it's so much going on in the league right now. And so we're going to try our best to get through all of it or get through most of it. Anything we miss, y'all know. Y'all put in the comments and we'll talk about that there. Let's go. You good?
I'm good, man. Let's get it.
All right, man.
We want to start.
We're watching the game right now. We start with this.
Ooh.
Start with this. Philadelphia. Atlanta Hawks. Game six right now. Atlanta is up at this moment in terms of when we're watching it. It's the first quarter, so there's a lot of game left to be played. What are you thinking of this series at the current moment, B? We haven't really talked about this series together, I don't think.
I'm thinking this might be the last time we see Ben Simmons in a Philadelphia 76ers jersey.
Really?
I think this is the end of this experiment. For better or worse. And like the thing that's really come across my mind the most watching this entire series kind of play out is you're seeing the evolution of basketball before our very eyes. It's kind of like a prime example of it.
Yeah.
Atlanta's a team, while not great, not really good defensively at all, they're able to slow down Philly because Philly is still playing an old style. And that's due to the lack of shooting by Ben Simmons Trey. Or the inability to shoot anything at all by Ben Simmons.
Right.
And it's forcing Philly to play these really tight space lineups. And like I said, we're watching it here. How many easy buckets has Philly scored out of the half court?
First quarter, I'd say, 3?
Maybe.
Maybe.
That's tough.
Like, right now, we're looking at it. If Steph Curry hit the last two shots, I believe.
Yep.
If it wasn't for him, this would be a 15-17-point game.
Already. And it's, we got 3 minutes left in the first quarter. And that's been everything for them throughout the entire playoffs. Now, Philly is amazing defensively.
Yeah.
They are a phenomenal defensive team.
They got the length. They got the size. Guys move. Guys are attentive on that side of the floor. Even guys like vets, George Hill. Like,
facts. Like, they're smart. They're long. They're athletic. They're aggressive. All great things. And that would be really great in 1997. But in this league, we're spacing, shooting. Trae Young, who we're watching ascend into a superstar before our very eyes, mm-hmm. it just doesn't mean as much. I told somebody this when I was talking about the Dallas Clippers series before we went to Game 7. And I was like, and I, like I said, I had Clippers win a Game 7 once it got there, but I was like, I hope this series is showing everybody how much one-on-one defense really is, like, not it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Kawhi shut down Luka for maybe 3 minutes of that game. And he was phenomenal. Well, game 6, I walked away and I said, Kawhi might be the best player in the world. But those 3 minutes can't be 48. Because there's nobody that can do that for 48 minutes.
Nobody?
There's nobody that can do that for 48 minutes.
Play great defense for 48 minutes.
Play defense like Kawhi played on Luka at the end of that game. Like, just one-on-one, I'm taking you out the game. It's impossible. Because they could. Philly would be doing it right now to Trae Young. But they can't. Ben Simmons can do it. We saw him do it in game 3, game 4 a little bit. Like, he slowed Trae down for a half to the third quarter, then the fourth. Like, at some point, it eventually breaks because the offense is going to find a way to get what they want,
whether it's with a
pick-and-roll action, whether it's off-ball action. Like, you're going to find a way. If you have a good enough offensive player, they're going to find a way to score. And that's what we're seeing here with Atlanta. Atlanta literally can get anything they want. We're about to see it right now. They got a mismatch now. So now Philly scrambling on defense. They got Gallinari on George Hill. Gallinari's going to get an easy shot here. He's going to get whatever he wants unless they double. They don't double, he made a bad decision. That's on him. That's just on him. He had an easy shot. He should have took it. But anyway, like, Atlanta can really force themselves to get any shot they want. Philly can't because they only have one guy who can do anything, and it's not a guard, it's Joel Embiid.
Right.
And Ben Simmons
is supposed to be that perimeter guy. However, he's limited.
He's limited. His lack of shooting limits what he can do on the floor. So he can't create mismatches. He can't stretch the defense. He can't manipulate the defense like he should be able to.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's a transition play, he's really not doing anything for you in the half court. And it's sad because, Jesus, if he would learn how to shoot, he would be phenomenal.
Top 10 player.
Facts. But he can't, and he won't. So Philly's stuck in this situation where they have to grind. Excuse me. They got to grind out every single bucket. And that is tiring.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, think about this. They're relying on Steph Curry and Tobias Harris to hit 40% of their threes consistently in the playoffs.
Yeah.
If they don't, their offense struggles. That's why every game they've won, Steph Curry either went ballistic or Tobias Harris went ballistic. One or the other. That's the only way they can survive in a half-court set. So, I think this is – if they lose this series, I think Ben Simmons is done in Philly. And I don't know where he's going to go. I don't know what the trade will look like, what team would want him. But, man, this has been a very interesting series to watch. And Doc Rivers has so much to answer for.
Yeah, I mean, this is tough. I've been very leery, and we can take this pod back 2 years. That's easy. This pod, at least 2 years, and I've said Doc is a good coach, and I've been leery of criticizing him as hard as other people have, like you, Tamon, Leak, especially Leak, because I've always thought, well, the guys he's – or the cards he's been dealt are great cards, good cards. Like, this team is a good team.
Yeah.
This is a championship caliber type team. But I've always saw, all right, there's certain glaring weaknesses to certain players that you can't even, as a coach, speak to.
Yeah.
You really can't speak to. And so if the guy isn't up for the challenge, if the guy isn't up to make that move or make that decision or play, you know, a style of basketball that is in some way more beneficial for the team, then
how much can I blame him for, honestly? And so I've always looked at it that way. But this series is difficult to do that because Atlanta is the underdog.
Absolutely.
I mean, and
they should be.
And you look at it on paper, it's not even, it shouldn't be close in my mind. I mean, I expect them to come in this series, and I'd be, oh, they'll try and make this fun. But did I ever expect them to be up 3-2? No.
I had Philly in six.
But I expect them to be up 3-2. I expect them to put it on them the way they've been doing that. Like, the way I've been watching this series, it's two ways. I've been watching, first, what we talked about it before the show started. What did Lloyd Pierce do to this team? Because that's another guy I defended. What did Lloyd Pierce do to this team that had them on the brink of not making the playoffs early this year? And now have Nate McMillan saying, these guys competing with everybody. And they might just be one piece away from scaring mm-hmm. a Brooklyn Nets basketball team.
Brooklyn got to get through Milwaukee first. But yeah, I feel
you. You know what I mean? Like, okay, cool. That's a big deal. The second thing is, like you mentioned as well, Trae Young has grown so much. And I understand a lot of people. I was talking to one dude. He was saying, he was telling me Trae Young and Jason Tatum should have been all NBA team. And I was like, I'm more inclined to say Jason Tatum than Trae Young. Because when you look at these guards, I don't know if there's one definitive person I could put Trae over any of them. Like, you're not putting him over Luka or Steph. Brad Beal averaged like 30-6. I don't know if we put him over him. That team was god awful compared to Atlanta, if you ask me.
I mean, I won't argue that.
I gotta look who else was there. I got it. You got it?
Yeah.
So who was that second team? I think I named first and
Chris
third.
Paul and Dame made second team.
Right. All right, come
third
on.
Team was Brad and Kyrie.
Right. I don't know. I don't know who we replacing from there. And we can say that with complete and utter confidence. Yeah, that's cool. Like, it just won't his year this year. And that's fine. That's cool.
I think the only person you could argue maybe Kyrie. And that's just because Kyrie missed games.
But Kyrie had an all NBA.
He had an all NBA
50, 40, 90,
year. Yeah, he had all NBA caliber year.
Or 88. Yeah, like,
he had the numbers. I'm just like, that's the only way you could argue. And that's just simply on the fact that Kyrie didn't play. He
right.
missed games. That's the only thing you could
so,
argue.
So I looked at it and said, I really can't, but he's right there. He's 7 or 8 on my list. Like, if one of those guys are out, then I have no problem putting him in. But he's been so good this entire playoffs, and it's shown me how tough he is as a player. Like, I already knew he was tough. I already knew he had that grit to him, that energy. All that energy he was showing off in New York, I already peeped it. Like, already been a fan of this kid heavily. And anyone calling him Steph, I was like, he got a couple of Steph tendencies, but he's not really Steph. Like, Trae is different. Like, he's a little different.
He's kind of a Nash Curry hybrid. That's kind of the best way I can put it.
Like, he's
right in that middle.
He's a little different with it, and I like it. I like it, and I like what he brings to this team. And that, for the first time in a long time, Atlanta looks like, wow, we really might have won the Luka trade. And they can say that with confidence. Like, oh, we won this. Now, of course, everyone's going to say Luka's the better player. And I understand.
Yeah.
But Atlanta doesn't have to feel like they made a mistake anymore.
Oh, no, I don't think Atlanta ever felt like they made a mistake. I think they got exactly what they wanted out of it. They got Trae. They got another. I think they ended up DeAndre Hunter's pick mm-hmm. was also involved in that. Like, they, on the surface level, I could always say you won the trade. I can say Atlanta won the trade. Now, the way at NBA it always is, whoever got the better player won the trade. That's normally how it goes. And I'm still firmly on the Luka Doncic is the better player of the two. No ifs, ands, buts about it. So that's just how I look at it. But yeah, Atlantic should definitely feel very happy about the trade that they got.
Yeah, so they win this game. They win this game. I say Atlanta needs to do whatever they need to do to buy into this and maybe expedite it expedite in terms of how they go about putting this team going forward. Because
I don't think they need to expedite. I mean, I think they're right where they want to be. You have a young star. He's surrounded by other young players, and Kevin Werter, DeAndre Hunter, even Capella's kind of young still.
He's 28.
28. Like, ain't like he's anywhere near the end. Like, this is at this point, you're just internal growth. Like, guys are going to get better. Continue. The one thing they did add, and granted, I said at the beginning of the season, I'll say it now, they brought in veterans, but they also condensed their rotation. So they did what I said they shouldn't do, but they also kind of did what I said they should do.
Right.
Like, and truth be told, like I said, they're still without a lot of players that were supposed to be in this rotation. Cameron Reddish isn't playing. DeAndre Hunter's not playing. So their rotation has been condensed. You brought in a guy like Lou Will instead of Rondo. Like, just continue to bring in veterans who are going to keep this momentum going forward. And like I said, just let the team grow together. Like I said, and if you get the opportunity to add another star, you jump on it. That's the key.
And I think we're going to see that, because we talked about a little bit last episode we were here. I think you were here, where we mentioned, like, all right, the change in the guard is starting to happen. Mm-hmm. We're seeing it in Phoenix. We're seeing it in Atlanta. We're seeing it in Dallas to an extent. Like, we're seeing new superstars emerge.
Definitely.
And they're starting to say, all right, we are here and we're not waiting, but let's get to it. They're going to look at each other and be like, we can go to Atlanta. Atlanta's not a bad city.
Oh, people love Atlanta.
Like, Dallas, no state tax. I mean, no taxes in Texas. So, cool.
That's true. What about Orlando?
Orlando.
You know, ain't nobody going there.
Okay, cool. Never mind.
How we go to Orlando?
I'm trying to figure out how we got to Orlando in the first place. Like, where?
Texas.
Oh, Texas?
It's not that great. They'll go to Miami.
The taxes don't balance out.
Nah.
Okay, but Miami, yeah. Okay.
Miami.
Okay. Miami.
There you go.
That's gotcha. The one. So you're looking at situations where you got these young guys making headway, making space like this, mm-hmm. and they're carving out their own little space, their own little area in the league where, like, nah, I run this, I am this, and when you meet me, you got work to do. You gotta come. You gotta come with your A game. I'm not rolling over for you.
Big facts.
And so, the room and the opportunity for these stars to look at a Dallas and a Phoenix and Atlanta as real destinations are more real, because I think that's been a thing where people were looking at a lot of these teams like, we weren't necessarily sure if, like, these kids were gonna pan out yet. Yeah, like, we knew they were good, but, like, are they really what we want them to be?
Definitely. Like I said, it normally takes you past your first contract for you to really pop. Like, true, even Devin Booker is kind of on that trajectory.
Yeah.
Like, he's on his second contract now where he's finally popping. Like, but for Trey, even Jason Tatum was in this category because he had his rookie year where he went to the conference finals. Donovan Mitchell's another guy who's kind of in that category where it's like they just immediately come in and – boom. Like,
right.
They show, oh, I can do this, and I can do it when the lights are the brightest.
Yeah.
And that's what really matters. Like I said, everybody says the playoffs is a different game. And I, like I said, when last time we were here, I was like, yo, I love this. Like, I can see it. Playoff basketball is different. Nobody cares what you can do in the regular season 9 times out of 10 if you can't do it in the playoffs.
Right.
Case in point, Julius Randle. We don't talk about him no more. Granted, his team's out. The reason his team's out is – because he wasn't the same player in the playoffs.
Yeah.
No fault of his own. He just wasn't that guy. Trae Young is showing he's that guy.
Yes. Julius Randle wasn't that guy. Like I said, I would give one guy a year. I give every guy a year.
I would be more willing to give him a year if he wasn't already 26.
I give every guy a year.
I feel you. Respect it.
Like, Julius Randle, like, we get, was it Steph? Steph had that bad series.
What series? What bad series?
It wasn't a. I understand.
Stop series. Right,
yeah, the series he wasn't amazing.
Julius Randle was god.
He wasn't god awful.
He struggled. All right, look, and the reason why he struggled was different. All right, no, we can look up the stats, B. Don't do this.
One of these guys is right, and the other one's wrong.
Julius Randle wasn't horrible.
Who
shooting 29% from the field?
Can we actually talk about
29% grade?
And this is something. And this is something that that's gonna. I need to get to at 1.2.
I got you.
Because Monty Williams should have been coach of the year.
Facts.
Should have been coach of the year. And we never mentioned this when we were talking about how great Tibbs was doing.
Well, Tibbs' offense is horrible.
Exactly.
I've said that for years.
So, no, don't do that. Because now we're looking at Julius Randle's numbers, and we were trying to talk about...
But, Greg, 29... if it was 40, I would be okay, great.
You just said... 29 is... You just said the playoffs are different. Damn. You just said that it's a different ball game.
Greg, show me 29% from anyone
Tom Thibodeau
else.
Rolled out a 32-year-old D. Rose and thought he was going to be the answer to get him to the Eastern Conference Finals.
I'm not going to defend Tom Thibodeau.
You got this.
No, bro, no.
But 29% is god-awful, Greg. I don't care what offense you run. If you're a guy who gets buckets, 29% is god-awful.
Look who was on the court. Look who was on the court. And once... That's why I said
sometimes. Why did Derrick Rose shoot 29% then? RJ Barrett didn't shoot 29%.
Nope. Who did it?
If you're telling me one guy who is supposed to be the focal point of your offense, we're going to make a decision. Atlanta made a decision. Said Julius Randle's not going to beat us. We're going to do whatever we got to do to get the ball in his hands and make him the most uncomfortable as if we possibly can. If we're going to do that, which they did successfully, and we're going to let everybody else pretty much be themselves, that without any adjustments. We talk about adjustments, wrinkles, anything.
I got you.
Tom Thibodeau has rolled out the same offense since 2010 of Chicago, but here we are trying to blame a most improved Julius Randle for something that has always been a thing.
I'm not defending Tom Thibodeau. I won't. I can't. It's impossible to do it.
So I'm right.
No.
I'm right.
Because, Greg, I'm sorry. If you're telling me this Atlanta team, that
they got
is not
the bodies.
Good. What bodies?
They got – you're telling me John Collins can't stand from him. You're telling me big –
John Collins is not a good defender. He's an average defender at best.
They got the bodies is the point. That's the whole thing about the playoffs at this point. We talk about how many bodies can we throw in front of your stars and slow them down.
29% is inexcusable.
And then if you're telling me I got an inept offense –
29% is inexcusable.
And then it's my first year as a number one option. Come on, man.
Still inexcusable. Come on. Like, if it was 39, I'd be rocking with you. I'd be like, man, that's just a bad shooting series. In 39 to like 42, I'd be like, hey, Greg, you're right. Like, he just had a bad shooting series. 29 means you couldn't make anything. Nothing.
All I'm saying is I'm not ready. To blame Julius Randle completely for what took place.
I'm not blaming him completely. I'm just saying he's not that guy.
Right. It just made him god awful.
Julius Randle was never supposed to be the guy.
Facts.
Like, he was never supposed to be the guy.
That's my point.
You're saying he was just god awful.
He was god awful in the series because he's not that guy. That's my point. Like, that's the reason he was got off, because he, like I said, Atlanta focused on him. They keyed on him. You can say that about every superstar in the league.
Yeah.
But other superstars get their buckets. Even Kobe Bryant, when he had a bad series, it was still getting you 25 and granted maybe on 40% shooting. Not 29, 18 points on 29% shooting.
Julius Randle did and played.
He had a great year.
The cards that was dealt to him this entire season.
Yeah, phenomenal.
If nobody makes adjustments to help me do my job better as a coach, because that's exactly what that's what I'm here to do. They did it for Trey.
I won't argue any of that.
To an extent, they did it for Luka.
I will not defend Thibodeau as a coach.
All I'm saying is.
But a bucket is a bucket getter. Either you can get a bucket or you can't.
In the words of Timon, a buck is a buck is a buck is a buck.
Julius, and like I said, granted, Atlanta's defense was solid in the series, but I watched those games. Julius couldn't even get to his spot. It wasn't even sometimes the offense. He literally couldn't beat his man and get to the spot. And even when he got to the rim, sometimes he couldn't finish. He settled. He was not aggressive. Maybe, like I said, give him a year. Maybe he just wasn't ready for the playoff physicality. But 29% is god-awful any way you want to slice it, Greg. I'm sorry.
This wasn't supposed to be the conversation.
It won't. But we turned into it.
That's like I said.
When there's no document.
Like I said.
Great time.
I blame Tibbs.
I blame Tibbs too.
That's fine. Tibbs get a lot of this blame.
I think he took a 40% shooter and turned him into a 29% shooter.
Ooh-wee. Ooh-wee.
Where were we? I got lost.
I mean, we're talking about Atlanta and Philly and kind of sidetracked.
No, I mean, how
young stars.
Yeah, young stars. So
taking the next step.
So a lot of these guys taking next steps. A lot of these guys like Trey, D Book, all that in the third. I'm just a fan of it. It's intriguing to watch.
Definitely.
And I guess we can lean into Phoenix. Phoenix is waiting on.
Just waiting on the winner.
Waiting on Utah, Clippers.
Find out tonight.
And a lot of people are trying to renege on their votes for MVP, saying it should have been Chris Paul.
Blasphemy.
Why is that?
How is Chris Paul the MVP? I really need.
So listen,
what's the argument?
Chris, I mean, the argument is
valuable.
One person joined the team, and now they're in the Western Conference Finals. Last year, they wasn't even in.
Okay, so. Last year, as one,
that's the lowest hanging fruit argument,
and it's basically what everybody's argument boils down to. Chris Paul once again went to another team and he took them from being underdogs to a contender.
Right,
fine. I love Chris Paul. I have sat here and defended Chris Paul on a number of occasions.
Mm-hmm.
Probably will do it till his career is over. But one thing I will not do up here is act like context does not matter.
Okay,
Phoenix last year. With DeAndre Ayton in the lineup was a playoff team.
Yes.
DeAndre Ayton got suspended. They were no longer a playoff team. So let's just get that straight. Now, granted, did they make the playoffs? No. Things happen. Suspension, the bubble, blah, blah, blah.
I think it was injury, too. I think.
Yeah, it was suspension
Kelly
and
get
injury.
Hurt? At one
yeah,
point
Kelly
that
got hurt, but they actually went 8-0 without Kelly. So, you know, and just like Golden State won more games without Kelly. Seems like Kelly's not a winning ball player. But anyway.
He's just throwing.
Hey, shot.
But anyway,
I don't
drive by. Do.
Really? I watch a lot of Kelly Oubre this year, and I stand by my statement. Anyway, Phoenix last year was a playoff team with DeAndre Ayton on the floor. Granted, were they a contender? Of course not. Chris Paul definitely has elevated them. Now, with that being said,
mm-hmm.
if you had told me at the All-Star break the Phoenix Suns were going to play the Lakers without AD,
yes,
and then the Nuggets without Jamal Murray,
mm-hmm.
I would have said Chris Paul better make the conference finals. Like this idea of, and we're watching what's happening to Chris Paul. We watched the same thing happen in 2011 with Dirk, where one great playoff run
can define your career.
It's going to define their career, and it's going to make everybody forget everything that happened after them.
Yeah.
When you talk, it's so funny hearing people talk about Dirk now, because now he's like one of the greatest clutch players of all time, and he's all-time great, and he's the third greatest power forward maybe ever, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I watched Dirk most of Dirk's career.
Yeah.
We called him a choke artist. We called him soft.
I didn't call him a choke artist.
A lot of people did.
That wasn't me.
One of the only one seeds that's ever got knocked out by an 8.
Yeah.
Blew a 2-0 lead in the finals. Had a number of seasons he lost as a higher seed. A lot of people called Dirk a choke artist. A lot of people called Dirk soft. He was the poster boy of why European players couldn't lead a team to a championship. And then one playoff run.
One.
Yeah.
Never did anything after that.
One.
But one playoff run, and Dirk is now considered one of the greatest clutch players of all time.
Shout out, Dirk.
So.
And so we're watching the same thing happen to Chris right now.
So
and
then.
Kind of funny.
So the question then becomes, and I guess in this argument is, have we misdiagnosed him on the first time or misdiagnosing him now?
I think it's always there's an in-between area. That's the thing. Like there's the hyperbole left, there's the hyperbole right, and then there's normally the truth right in the middle. I've said from jump, I think Chris Paul is a very clutch player.
Yes.
I think he's a guy who definitely is a championship point guard.
Mm-hmm.
He's been put in some bad situations. He's had some moments where he's choked, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every player has.
Right.
Chris Paul, though, is a guy, if you ask me to build a championship team, he probably would be the third point guard I pick. But that doesn't all of a sudden now make him the ultimate point guard that if you throw him on any bad team, he would automatically make them a contender. He walked into a team with Devin Booker on it. Yay. You walked into a team with a 25-point score and DeAndre Ayton, who's been ascending.
Yeah.
Like, that's great. Because you want, here's the thing, here's a real argument for this. If Chris Paul was that good, as everybody's talking about, that you can just throw him on any team, he makes a contender. How did OKC lose in the first round last year? To a Houston team that really wasn't that good, playing Russell Westbrook at the five.
You just asked Greg to go against Thunder versus Baby Thunder.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's not fair. That's not fair. That's not fair.
Like, but seriously, was Houston that much? I remember I sat here and I was like, yo, these teams are about evenly matched as you could ask for.
I say they lose that series because they.
Who loses it?
Okay, sir.
I didn't want to say.
try to avoid it.
I say OKC loses that series. Because I'm looking at a guy in James Harden and I'm looking at a guy in Russ. Yes, those are two MVPs who.
Keep in mind, Russ was hurt.
Russ was hurt, yes. But two MVPs who have experience, been in these situations before, and was like, all right, I'll lean more on the experience of them winning that series as opposed to Chris Paul, who. It was him, Chris Gallo.
Yeah.
Shay. And then after that.
It was a young team. No doubt.
You know, like after that, we're looking at.
But that's kind of my point. Like, you can't just throw Chris Paul with guys and he just. Like, people are acting like Chris Paul has this LeBron-like effect. And I'm sorry. He has an amazing effect. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but I'm it's not saying
that level.
I don't think it's that level, but I think it should be. I think the level it's at should be appreciated.
Oh, it definitely should. I appreciate it.
Because I looked at the Denver series. I said Denver's going to win the series in seven.
Nah, I knew they were done.
I said Denver going to win the series in seven, most likely. That's what I told Tamon last time we were sitting on the show. I said, I think Denver can win this in seven.
I had Phoenix in five.
I said, it's going to be very. I said, it's really going to come down to can Monte Morris repeat his effectiveness. If Monte Morris and Campazzo. Kind of Austin Rivers, the other guards, can try to mimic that that effectiveness and that production that they were getting from Jamal Murray. Maybe. Do it as a committee. Maybe. And so that's how I leaned on it. I said, I think we looking at guys like Cameron Payne, Cam Johnson, Bridges. I was like, they're playing really, really well, but is this it, like did they cap it at one series? Which you see a lot in some young teams. Absolutely. We haven't seen it this season at all. I mean, like the young boys just keep going. But I thought it's like maybe they cap off after one series. And now we get to see like D-Book and Chris Paul really try to like carry the way, and then you can see Jokic do what he do best, and it didn't turn out that way. So. They just really kind of controlled that series all the way through.
I mean, and it was.
I look at the series and I look at the style of play and look at what was done. No, Denver didn't have any answers.
They had none.
Didn't have any answers. But why didn't they have any answers? Because Chris Paul was so deadly from where he was getting. They couldn't stop him from getting where he wanted to go.
They didn't have answers because. Because
Cameron Payne's not making those plays.
Of course not. But I will say, like I said, it wasn't just Chris. It was Devin, too. Like,
no, D-Book was balling.
Yes.
Like, D-Book was balling. Aiden was balling.
This is my point. Somebody, like I said, I was arguing with one of my coworkers the other day. They were like, yo, Jokic should have won one game. He's an MVP, and he should da-da-da-da-da.
He should have won one game.
No. There was
MVP should win one game. If we're going to sit here and say LeBron should win one game, Steph should win one game, KD should win one game, Giannis should win one game, we got to keep it.
It's always about the matchup.
You got to keep it. You got to be honest,
all about
bro.
The matchup. There was no way, especially once Michael Porter Jr. got hurt. Especially once he got hurt. You could see it. He was not the same player no more. Once he got hurt, there was literally no way Jokic could dominate that series. Because as amazing as he is, as amazing as a facilitator is, as amazing he stepped up his game as a scorer, the matchup was not in his favor. You're going against Chris Paul, arguably maybe the greatest pick and roll operator ever.
Yep.
He also has a 25 to 30 point score on his wing. And he has an emerging young defensive center who's literally catching everything around the rim. There's nowhere for Jokic to go or hide. There's nothing he can do. Like, he could literally walk out there and get 40 and 20, and it wouldn't have been enough.
I think he did that.
He something did. Like that. Like, that's the point. Like, what is there? I can't guard five guys. As a center, I can't, especially as Jokic is granted. I think he's improved as a defender, but he's not a guy who can guard five positions.
Mm-hmm.
On offense, as great as he is, somebody else got to make a shot. His best offense is as a passer. Like, that's what makes him so elite. So the guys I'm passing to can't make shots. I can't guard Chris Paul in the pick and roll or Devin Booker in the pick and roll.
Mm-hmm.
What's left for me to really do here other than maybe try to get 60 on DeAndre Ayton, who granted he should be able to beat, which he averaged like 27 in the series on. But, like, I'm supposed to go get 60 to win one game and then get blasted the next night? Like, I had Phoenix in five because I just saw the bad matchup. I'm walking out here with Monte Morris and Capazzo, and it's Chris Paul and Devin Booker on the other side, and I still got to worry about DeAndre Ayton? It's over. It was one thing when it was Yusuf Nurkic, who can't play defense no more. But it's Ayton over here. I got to run and jump with him. I can't deal with Chris Paul and Booker at the same time. That's a bad matchup. No, he was not. I would have liked to have seen him win one, but I can't fault him for not winning one.
All I was saying was, if we ask of every other superstar to get one, then we didn't ask anything wrong of him to get one.
Embiid got swept last year. Like, why are we doing this? James Harden's gotten swept. Like, why are we doing this?
What you mean, why are we doing this? What you mean?
Once again, that's not one of my criteria. I'm not holding it against my life for getting swept if you were completely outmatched. LeBron got swept in the finals. Like, I'm not holding that against LeBron.
And we both sat there and we said LeBron was getting one. And we both sat there and said LeBron was getting one.
I said he should have got game one because they blew it. J.R. Smith blew it. But, like,
we went, before that series was started, we said he going to get one.
And it should have been game one. J.R. Smith blew it. Like, that was his best chance at getting one, and he blew it.
So, let's not – So that's what, and that's my but point.
But I've never faulted LeBron for that.
And that's all I'm saying. That's my point is we expect one, and then so for me to sit here and expect one, it's not an indictment on him as a person. It's me saying, oh, this is the MVP. He could get one game, even if we both sit here and say like matchup wise, say it's a sweep because that's exactly what we did with the Cavs Warriors series. We said, oh, this is a sweep. But LeBron's over there. He'll get one.
I would also say LeBron's in the GOAT conversation and Jokic isn't. Like,
you are also the person that said, I ain't going to do that to you.
Good.
You are also the person that said that Jokic will go down as probably the best offensive big ever.
Yeah. Like, I'm not backing off that stance. Once again, I said my whole point was, offensively, he'll do what he can do. The problem is he can't deal with Chris Paul and Devin Booker at the same time. Like, there's nothing you can do in that end.
Phoenix-Denver series ended. Chris Paul maestroed that.
Facts.
So, because it was a sweep, because the matches were so heavily outnumbered, we have essentially misrepresented him. Or we are having, I guess, a revisionist history of him. Am I right? Is that what you're saying? These last two series, the Lakers and Denver, both these series is just
Trae Young hit.
It's just revisionist history on him. He should have won both. We really overhyped it.
I mean, I think in the grand scheme of things, yes, he should have won both. Like, if we really go back and look at these series, Phoenix should have won them, especially when you really look at the context. Now, do I think that takes away anything from Chris Paul's legacy? No, like, I'll be honest, I think it's nice to see him on the other end of the injury bug for once. Like, a dude who's battled injuries his whole career.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not mad at him for getting this. But on the same token, I'm not going to call him the MVP for winning series he's supposed to win. Like, that doesn't validate what happened in the regular season. Like, I watched Jokic be dominant for the entire year. The entire year. And then even when his second best player got hurt, continued to have his team in the third seed. Like, that's more impressive to me than Chris Paul conducting Phoenix and getting them to the two seed.
No matter how young they are, no matter this is their first appearance, like everybody on this team outside of him and Monty Williams, essentially, Jay Crowder, excuse me, I'm sorry. Jay Crowder has also been in the playoffs. But outside of them three, have never seen the playoffs.
Sarge.
Yes.
Anyway, sorry.
Four.
Yeah. But, yeah, it is. Because, like I said, once again, Phoenix is a talented team. Like, talent is talent in the NBA. Any way you want to slice it. It's still Devin Booker. It's still, like, Phoenix, we both sat here and said, yo, Phoenix is really well constructed. The team is good.
Yeah.
From top to bottom. It's not a bad team by any stretch of the imagination. So, yes, I give Chris Paul his props. He elevated them. I had them as a firm playoff team before the season began. Now, you now put Chris Paul on that team, and then you say you're going to play the Lakers without AD and the Nuggets without Jamal Murray. Mm-hmm. That, to me, says, yeah, Chris, like, they're supposed to at least make the conference finals. Like, this is what's expected of you. This isn't, like, to me, this isn't, I'm not going to say it's not impressive. It's just, like, it's what you were supposed to do in this situation. Okay. If you didn't, it would be a failure. If they lost to the Lakers without AD, we would all be sitting up here talking about Chris Paul's a choke artist again.
I don't think we would.
I think we would.
I don't think we would.
Only thing that would have saved him would have been the shoulder injury. But then we'd be talking about, well, he's always hurting the playoffs again. That's Chris Paul for you.
I don't think we would have. I don't, not because he's playing LeBron James.
Like, once again, he's but playing it's LeBron James. Like, after watching the Lakers, it's like it's also LeBron coming off injury as well. LeBron did not look like himself. No. Like, if he had lost to just LeBron with that bad Lakers team, I'm gonna call it what it was. It was a bad Lakers team without AD.
We saying, okay, it's a bad Lakers team, but we were all sitting here saying once again, all right, if they get themselves together, if they can catch a rhythm and anything like that in the third, they be right back in the playoff. We right back in the and right back in championship.
Yeah, with AD.
We speaking all of that. We speaking with AD. All of that. And then LeBron James, the height, like you said, the height of elevates a team. The height of he can get the team to at least the conference finals. Like, I mean, that's what he do. He carries at least to the conference finals.
Yeah, when
finals.
He was 33.
How old is Chris Paul?
36. Chris Paul got Devin Booker. So difference.
So I'm looking at, I'm like, all right, man. If you play LeBron James, both of these guys are maestros when it comes to it. Both of these guys are.
And one person had a better orchestra.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. All
right.
Like, I'm not, like, Chris Paul is one of the ultimate maestros in NBA history. No doubt about it. Right now, he has a better orchestra than everybody he's played against. Matter of fact, he's gone against two other maestros. He went against LeBron and Jokic. Two other maestros. Chris Paul just had the better orchestra right now.
Okay.
And that's fine. I'm glad to see it. But no, that does not make him the MVP of the regular season. I don't even know if he was the best player on the Suns team this regular season. Like, sorry.
All right, which leads me to a good question then.
What's up?
Because we've been kind of focused on the playoffs, and of course we could get to the Utah, the Clippers, and all that in the third, mm-hmm. and Milwaukee and Brooklyn when it's necessary. But last year you said that you were going to chalk up that season as an asterisk.
I never said asterisks.
You never said, but you said, you didn't know how to, you don't know how to qualify it. You know how to judge it. Is this another season that you're having a difficulty judging based upon the issues, the injuries, the condensed schedule? How are you looking at this season and judging it?
Man, that's a great question. And I honestly don't know.
Me neither. I've been thinking about it for a minute because I've been on this whole thing of like AD went down, Jamal Murray's been out. Kawhi's
down,
now out.
Kyrie's down.
Like guys are dropping left and shucks. Before it was Harden. A lot of people have been missing.
Jaylen Brown.
A lot of people have been missing. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know what to make of this. And a part of me is like, injuries are injuries.
Yeah.
But then I looked at the full scope of the season. And, of course, LeBron James made his statements as well, saying, I told you guys so. This has been a thing. It felt – I'm not going to do that. But
– yeah. I know what you want to say.
It felt like that.
It did. felt y'all, like y'all that. Know what we saying. We ain't gotta say
but
it.
He, because he's good at that.
He's very good.
He's at good at that.
His media team is amazing.
But it started to play on me a little bit. I said, all right, should I judge this season as just another season where, all right, yes, we all played on the same level, 72 games, condensed, all that in the third, and injuries happen. This is it. Mm-hmm. Or should I really pay attention and say, all right, the stars were affected the most, which we hate.
Always.
And the teams that we expected to be conference finals or championship contenders are missing as well. No matter how you shake it, you never want LeBron James not in the conference finals. The NBA don't want that. No matter how you shake it. As long as he can play, as long as he can walk, run, and jump, dunk, he got to be in the conference finals.
He's the main attraction.
Same thing. If Brooklyn was to lose in that first round because Kyrie went out in that series, James went down in that series, we having a completely different conversation about them as well. So how are you judging this season? How are you going to judge this champion? And should this be a season where we look at it and go, yeah, it was a good year, but.
So in order to stay consistent with everything I've said, my whole point with the bubble last year and with me not knowing how to judge it was something that could not be prepared or expected. It was something that can never be replicated.
Yeah.
And just the way the season unfolded, nobody really signed up for that. It just kind of happened. In this scenario, everybody signed up. We knew what we were walking into.
Everyone signed up, but not everybody wasn't really complicit on the sign. Like, I mean, I
get what you're saying.
But they ain't really like.
But everybody played. Ain't nobody turned down no checks. Everybody's contract is still hitting bank accounts, direct deposit. So we signed up for this to any extent you want to say, whether you were happy about it or not. You've gone along with the game plan. You cannot then, when the game plan is not in your favor, turn around and say, I told y'all so. This don't count. No, this is what we all kind of linked into.
Okay, yeah, we linked into it. I'll give you that. We linked into it.
Now.
But, real quick.
Go ahead.
We linked into this. We signed up. We played. We cashed the checks.
Yep.
But this ain't being replicated. Not in this form.
You're right. And that's why I'm kind of struggling.
because I personally believe this, when the season is over, LeBron James and all the other superstars, AD, anyone who went down, and if they lose, if anyone who went down is going to say, we don't want 72 games anymore.
Well, no, they already said they're going back to 82 game next schedule.
They're going back. Announced that. And they definitely don't want the play-in.
Oh, the play-in's here to stay. They might as well, that one's done. They let that rock.
So
they ain't going nowhere.
So because of that,
that's going to be a lockout then. And that would be, you might want to brace yourself. That might be a long lockout.
It will be a very long lockout.
If it happens.
It will be a very long lockout. And once again, this is hypothetical. I really don't expect.
We do not want a lockout.
We do not want a lockout. I don't necessarily expect them to lock out. But I do look at it in a situation of like, all right, you've worked us worked us the last 2 years. You rolled us out there in the middle of a pandemic. Then you told us to come back essentially in what? Two months?
Yeah, 2-3 months.
And lace them back up again. No preseason for real. Just threw us back on the court. Then you did not give us a break in between for All-Star. It wasn't even All-Star. It was an All-Star day. Threw us out there on the court.
Facts.
Like, y'all weren't really in our best interest. And so because y'all wasn't really in our best interest, Adam Silver and all that in the third.
Oh, this is going to be so interesting to talk about when we get to it. Because this is going to play on both sides. I think we are hitting that critical mass point of player empowerment versus owners.
Oh, yeah.
And we're hitting
Who's really the most powerful? The most influential in this situation?
We know who's the most influential. But And it, like I said, I think we kind of know who's most. I think the players, especially in the NBA, are the most powerful and they are the most influential. But at some point, the owners are going to put their foot in the sand. And they're going to be like, hey, we let y'all get away with a lot. We understand y'all are the moneymakers, like, but we are the owners. Like, the money comes from us, quote unquote.
Right.
So, yeah, I think we're, and like I said, we'll probably talk about this when we talk about Luka and Zion a little bit. But I just think that we are hitting that critical mass point. And to your point, like, yeah, like, the players definitely have the right to feel a certain way. Like, the season has been, once again, very interesting to say the least. On the same token, I will say the one thing about these injuries that's very interesting is a lot of the guys that have gone down are the guys who were always injury prone, which I don't know if that's a thing that's like, maybe this was going to happen anyway, or the condensed schedule kind of brought that on quicker.
I would say yes. Anthony Davis always gets injured.
Kyrie Irving always gets injured.
I've always said AD is probably one of the best players to ever touch a basketball court, but we won't be able to put him in a lot of the conversations because he ain't played enough games.
Exactly.
Like, that's how I view him. Like, he talent-wise, yeah, top five, but when you look at body of work and it's time to really lay it all out there, it's going to be very difficult to have him in certain conversations because
he's not going to play enough.
His body didn't allow it. His body didn't allow it. So,
you're talking about Kyrie. We've been talking about Kawhi being a ticking time bomb for years now.
Yep. And like, it finally blew. And
hopefully,
not to that level.
Hopefully, not that bad. But yeah, like, these are guys who have always been injury prone. Even Chris Paul, when he got hurt in the first round, everybody was like, oh, there goes Chris Paul. I'm like, are we shocked? It's Chris Paul. Like, it always happens to Chris Paul.
I think the difficulty is we're looking at one. Okay, one was a defending champion.
Mm-hmm.
One was a defending champion, and we were very much excited about them. Then, of course, we wanted the Lakers-Clippers series.
Absolutely.
We didn't get that. So there's disappointment going on there for media, fans, all that, and the third, whether people say it out loud or not. People are disappointed. And then you have the MVP going out there, rolling out on the court without his second guy, his right hand, and Jamal Murray, who we know, that's a playoff dude.
Yeah.
And he shows up when the lights are brightest. Big like, guy. This is his moment. And so, and like you say, we saw how limited these guys are without them. Yep. Then you're looking at Kyrie going down and James going down at one point. You're like, oh, shoot. If Brooklyn doesn't beat Milwaukee, which is still in the air.
Oh, it's very much in the air.
Still in the air. Like,
that's a whole different conversation. But
if
up in the air.
If Brooklyn loses to Milwaukee, are we really about to have a Milwaukee versus Utah series?
Utah's gotta get past the Clippers.
Are we really about to have a Milwaukee versus Phoenix type series? Like,
that'd be very interesting.
Like, these were the conversations we were having. We're like, we like Giannis. Giannis is cool and all.
I have an Atlanta Phoenix series.
Like, but do we wanna see that?
So you know what's funny about this whole thing, right? And like, you and me talk about this all the time.
Of course.
When we talk about, especially when we talk about college basketball, where people always say they hate the powerhouse. They hate the blue blood. They mm-hmm. hate the super teams.
They hate rooting against them. It's not that they hate them, and like,
they hate rooting for them. Actually, like, they don't like the idea of them becoming too good.
Yeah. Excuse me, powerful. I said it backwards. They hate.
They love to root against them.
They need to be there.
Exactly. They need a villain to root for.
Right.
So in this case, like, the villain this season was Brooklyn for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
LA is always a villain whenever they're in. Like I said, you got half the people love them, half the people hate them, and then LeBron James always is a villain. When you take those villains away, and now it's just, oh, it's a bunch of likable guys playing basketball. And a lot of them are small markets. And nobody cares.
You don't feel the same.
So don't tell me super teams are bad for the sport.
No. Okay. I'm gonna give whoever said that bail, just a tad bail. It's not that they don't like. Super teams are bad for the sport, and I'm doing devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. I don't agree. But super teams are bad for the sport in the regard of you are trying to force your hand on the league in such a way that makes it not competitive.
Facts.
And so, like, the perfect example was KD going for, what, 50?
Yeah.
KD going for 50 and James Harden essentially being one leg out there. Like, he really
shouldn't have been out
there. He should not have been out there. But and he played 46 minutes.
Yeah, it was crazy.
But in that moment, nobody was rooting against KD.
No.
Nobody.
We love the underdog. We love the idea of the underdog.
So as much as we hate Twitter fingers Kevin Durant, for the people out there, like I said, devil's advocate. I love KD. But I got to make that clear, man. People be out here throwing sound bites out, but I love KD. But for the people who don't, they like in this moment, it's like, oh no, this is what we always want to see, the heroics,
the
battling through, like, and you saw the tide kind of flip to this. Oh my God, Giannis might be soft, or Giannis isn't skilled. You know,
whatever.
All like it flips to that type of conversation.
I realize I'm a Giannis apologist now. I've leaned into that. Jesus. Anyway, sorry.
It's cool. It's cool.
I'm a Giannis apologist.
But that's what it becomes. So it's not necessarily that we don't want to root against these guys. Mm-hmm. We wanted to be close. It's almost like
we want the storyline.
Right. Like, nobody's gonna watch Superman fight because we all know at the end of the day, he could just turn it up another two levels and punch whoever he wants into the dirt. Like,
big facts.
So it was like, we would rather watch Batman versus Joker and root against Batman, because like it's a possibility that Joker could make this happen. Like, we left the Dark Knight saying
there's a level of
Heath Ledger did his thing.
There's a level of fear.
Heath Ledger did his thing.
I mean,
that's the thing we love about it.
Wait a minute. Hold on. That's Can I take it. A break? Whoa. Heath Ledger didn't do his thing?
Yes, but that wasn't the argument.
No. Okay. I thought you were in that, and I was about to have a moment. We'll talk about that after
the show. No, the reason we love our hero stories, whether it's in media, sports, whatever, because we always want to see them be vulnerable. We want to see them have to overcome something.
It's true.
Like, case point, Steph Curry this year was the prime example. People who have hated Steph for years, I've seen people who've hated Steph for years all of a sudden come out and be like, man, Steph Curry is amazing. I didn't know he could do that. Shut up.
Didn't know he could do that.
Shut up. Like,
the person you were making fun of is old. I could tell by the voice you chose.
Pretty much. So it's that thing of, we want to see the impossible.
Mm-hmm.
We want to see you go against the odds. When the odds are in your favor, nobody likes you. It's too easy. Nobody cares. But on the same token, for basketball, this is the thing people got to remember about the NBA and the NFL and whatever other sport you want to choose. It's an entertainment industry. It thrives off people watching. Y'all don't watch average to good teams. Y'all don't. Only the true blood fan of us do. I watch Phoenix from time to time. I watch Denver games this year when Jamal Murray went out. I watched Milwaukee games. I watched
so many New York Knicks games.
Bruh.
So many Knicks games.
I ain't gonna lie. I started watching Minnesota games when D'Angelo Russell came back. Like, but we are the outliers. The average fan, you tune in to see LeBron, KD, Steph, Harden, whoever you want to pick, whoever your favorite superstar is.
Mm-hmm.
And when your favorite superstar ain't in the playoffs,
You're not watching.
Or when there's no super team for you to root against, like Golden State when they got KD, like LeBron when he went to Miami, whoever you want to name, when there's no super team for you to be like, I don't like them, you don't watch. So don't tell me super teams are bad for the NBA. They're not. They're bad for competition. There's a difference.
And I think that's the argument people have been making. Like I said, it's a competitive aspect, not necessarily the NBA aspect. People want the vulnerability. People want that. And people saying like, oh, because people didn't have a hard time rooting against.
What's up?
Kobe's second run, super team or not?
No.
Nah, people didn't have a hard time rooting against Kobe.
No, nah, well, it's because Kobe's always been like, he always painted himself as a villain.
Exactly. That was his thing. Exactly. So
that was his thing. Yeah. Especially until later. Once he tore his Achilles, all of a sudden he turned himself into a hero. Great marketing, by the way. Yeah.
But, so because of that,
yeah.
Who's to say that there isn't a situation where another superstar can take that lane?
I think KD could. Like, I think KD could really, if KD had went somewhere by himself, I'm not even going to say about it. He just went somewhere. Matter of fact, if he had just went to Brooklyn with Kyrie, mm-hmm. if it had just been them two, they still would have been the villains.
No, for sure.
Like, and once again, but they wouldn't have been a super team. They just would have been the villains of the NBA. And we would have all sat here and be like, man, we really don't want, man, KD's amazing, but we don't want him to win, man. Mm-hmm. God, dog it. Like, that boy's bad, though. Like, he's getting 40.
Is this the first villainous super team?
No. No.
Who was
the first villainous super team?
Yeah,
who was
that? Were like that? We looked at
that embraced the villain role.
That embraced it.
Yeah, because the Nets are villains,
and they thrive in it.
Like all of them are villains. They're all villains.
Like Miami might have been the closest, but even they weren't care. Villains. Like LeBron tried to be, and he failed at it. Yeah,
he's not good at
but
that.
But Wade was never a villain. Chris Bosh has always been known as one of the nicest guys in the league.
This team is legit like, villain and a super team.
Like.
I would say,
the Sinister Six.
I would say maybe the Bulls.
The Bulls were villainous.
I think like,
Michael Jordan was the most popular like Michael man Jordan? On the planet.
Michael Jordan.
I think for everyone who loved Michael Jordan, I think it was the equal number that hated Michael Jordan.
Yeah, in Detroit.
You talking about like 96 in the 90s? The Bulls.
I think
Michael Jordan. Space Jam. That
Space
guy.
Jam.
Okay, yes. Yes, we love Space Jam, and I love Space Jam, but I think Jordan...
He was the most... He may have been the most popular man on the planet.
The most liked man in the world.
Most liked man? Really?
Possibly. Yes. Top five, easily.
Yes.
Liked.
Like did you watch the Dream Team?
I would say popular, and I'm saying, yes, worldwide, yes. I would say... But I think that at some point... Not at some point. I think... He had an equal level of hate and love.
We gotta call the old head for this. Because it's hard for us to really know. Sure. We weren't there.
Because by the time we could realize, Mike, exactly. It was all like
it was over. He was already deity.
If I call Kerry right now, he'll hate him. He's a Detroit Pistons fan. Like he's gonna hate him.
Yeah, he doesn't count either.
And that's exactly. The thing. I think people who had to watch their team play Mike and players who had to play Mike. Hated him.
But that's my point. But that's
why some people hate Steph, though.
There are
like,
people who just hate KD, who just hate Kyrie, who just hate Harden. Because of who they are. They're real villains. You can dislike Mike because he's great. People do that, but they'll still chalk it up to like, okay, yes, he's the GOAT.
And it's more so because he's beat Pistons fans, Knicks fans, Pacers fans. Like, they don't like Mike simply because he always beat us. Like, always. There was nothing we could do. But they still respected him. It was like, it's just Michael Jordan, man. Yeah. Like, with LeBron and KD, it's like this thing of like, LeBron, when he first got to Miami, I'll say, mm-hmm. it was like, we don't want to see you win mm-hmm. ever.
Ever.
Like, we can't stand the thought of it. Like, that's how I felt when LeBron first got to Miami and KD now in Brooklyn.
And so, all right, this is where the conversation kind of shifts then mm-hmm. for me anyway, because we didn't want to see LeBron or whoever that's speaking. We didn't want to see LeBron. We didn't want to see KD win ever because we felt like, oh, this is actually an opportunity. They won't win ever. Like it's actually room for that thought.
Yeah.
Jordan didn't really give us that much room for that thought, did he?
Man, it took like, him 7 years to win.
It took him 7 years, but he got the ball rolling and like we all knew like at some point he's gonna break through and we just gonna have to live with the fact. And then he just kept winning and winning. Like the first one was like, okay, y'all won that. And then there's the second one, they're like, wait a minute. And then the third, and they're like,
yeah, I'm glad he retired.
Like, oh. And then he came back, like, oh my, he's back. And then like, no, he's really that dude. Like the dominance is what forced that respect. Yeah.
I mean, we all want to see Goliath fall.
It was the same thing, though.
Like but the dominance in LeBron and KD was never, and I'm sorry to say it, was never really to that effect. So it was like,
for sure. But
so I like
Mike's dominance had him on both sides, though. Like he was so good that people hated seeing him play their team, but he was also so good that you couldn't deny that he was dominant.
And like,
I think it's the same way with KD and LeBron in their own respects. Like, I think people look at KD and like, fam, like, at the end of the day, that's the best scorer ever touch a rock.
The difference is, like, I don't see LeBron as a villain because he makes himself, like, his personality is so gleeful. Like, him as a person is hard to hate, especially, like, with what he does and how he, not so much how he plays, but outside of how he plays, it's hard for him to be a villain. KD, outside of how he plays, is still a villain. Like, him on Twitter, him having the extra accounts, him going to Golden State, villainous. LeBron didn't really do anything that was too villainous. Mike didn't really do anything that was too villainous other than be dominant. Outside of that, he was not chilling, but, you know, not KD.
And granted, we, like I said, Mike's dominance, of course, made people want to see him lose. Like, right. That comes with any superstar or dynasty that comes. Like, we talk about the Patriots all the time. Like,
yep.
Everybody wants to see Goliath fall.
Yep.
But there is a difference. Case in point, KD in Golden State, if you weren't really a fan of that team, you were literally counting the days till it fell apart because you were just like, I don't want to see this anymore. Like, I'm sick of seeing KD get easy 30s. I'm sick of Steph getting easy 27 and winning titles. Like, I don't want to watch this.
And that example is crazy because Golden State was such a liked team by people who just watched them. KD came, and they became the villains.
But with Jordan, it was this thing of you wanted to see him lose, but even when he was winning, it was just like, wow.
He's the man.
Like, he's something we just, like, he's something we've never seen. Even when he's beating you, it's just like, the man had 55. He had 48. Like,
yeah, we got to ask some old heads because I really think a lot of people are looking at Jordan in the same light.
Yeah, I think,
like,
one thing they might
in real time.
No, for sure.
I think it was more admiration for Mike.
I think that's been done with Golden State to an extent. Like, now that it's gone.
You want to know what saved it? Real talk. You want to know what saved Golden State and makes them a little bit more likable now?
Injuries.
Exactly. They fell apart.
They fell apart.
If they had three-peated, they would be hated.
For sure.
But since we saw KD get hurt, and we said it when it happened. When KD got hurt, it was like, oh, that humanizes him.
Yep.
He tore his Achilles. Man, that's tough. Like, man, you got to respect KD now. Yeah. Like, he tried to play on a torn Achilles.
Yeah.
Then Klay Thompson tears his ACL. Man, we may never see Klay Thompson again. You should appreciate him while he's here. Like, that humanized that team.
Yeah. And
if that didn't happen, they would have continued to be one of the most hated teams.
I think a thing that also helps Jordan is the fact that he didn't have the same level of, like, exposure as, like, KD and them do.
True fact.
Right. Yes. Like, we get to see.
He was the first media superstar.
No, for sure. Right. Like, we get to see all of the headlines about KD in an instance. And we all get to see the same ones. Right. But back in the day, you couldn't see, like, the headlines in Chicago about Jordan are completely different than the headlines in Detroit about Jordan.
Facts. Yeah.
They didn't get to see that back then.
Yeah, it's universal here.
We get to see what Bleacher Report says about KD.
In real time.
For everyone. Everywhere gets to see what everyone is saying about KD at all times. So I think that's the big difference. So he may have been hated, but I think it's more localized because of how media spread back then.
I'll let that rock. Yeah, then because it's hard to have an argument against social media.
Right. Like, I think that's like, the beef that we're having.
It's hard to argue against that, but see,
it's totally different eras.
With that being the case, I think this is the most villainous super team just because of the exposure they have as being bad guys.
And they've embraced it.
I think they are villainous for sure. I don't want to take that in terms of the energy that's around them.
Yeah.
And I kind of like it.
Yeah.
But I've always liked the villains in all the shows. So, but
he really has.
Like, I've always rooted for the bad guys.
It's true. Greg is devil's advocate embodied.
But in terms of, like, you say, I don't know, man. I got to ask an old head.
Yeah. I'll make some calls.
Yeah. I got to ask an old head because
do some research.
The energy around, no matter how you view it, the energy around winning and winning at that level, with that level, because at that ease.
Do you think Jordan was the only villain on that team, though? Do you think people hate it?
Till Rodman got there.
Till Rodman.
Yeah,
true.
No, everybody liked Horace. Horace was cool. Not hated.
Yeah, I think Jordan pretty much took all of it.
Until Rodman came.
Yeah, I think Jordan took all of it.
That's fair.
But once again, it's a thing of his presence is so
Chicago is dominating.
I mean, he's the guy.
Massive. Like, you know.
He is Chicago.
Right.
And so, still. Because of that, it's like, dang, he kind of just engulfs everything around him. And whatever energy he has is just passed on everybody else.
Facts.
So, I look at him. I'm like, it's hard for me to say we – yes, we loved them. And I think people love Golden State. Like, we say it to an extent, yeah, they're humanized now. But even in the moments, like, we were still looking at that team like,
oh, we appreciated the greatness.
Mm-hmm. They're playing basketball the way we feel basketball should be played.
Yeah. I think a lot of like, times the villainous like, could be passed on to single out KD.
And it was like that for, like you, we yeah. I watched videos and how they would talk about how the yeah. offense and how the flow and, yep. you know.
KD still talk about it.
You know, like, like we, they would communicate about, like, how free-flowing, how, you know, smooth and innate it was, how IQ had to be so high in order to function at that level on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. And then they'll come back and say, all right, this ISO clip doesn't count because they just gave the ball to KD, but you got Steph, Klay,
whoever.
Iggy, yeah, whoever you want to put out there.
Right.
Of course, you can't help off. You can't help off. Everybody just has to wait and see what happens. And then, but then they'll go right back to loving it.
Yes.
So was it really Golden State hate? Or was it really
I think KD,
Kevin Durant being there?
I think KD was that dominant factor that yeah. like that same presence that Mike has, but the Golden State team was so much bigger than the Chicago team outside of Mike. Like, the Chicago team outside of Mike was nowhere near comparable to the Golden State team because they did it before KD got there. Because they went on
I see what you're saying.
They went on the runs before KD got there. Yeah. So it wasn't like it was his team. He was the dominant one. Like, he wasn't the focal yeah. point of Golden State.
Like I said, it was still Steph City.
It was still Steph City.
Like I said, Klay Thompson always had his role. Draymond Green was always the voice.
Right.
Yeah, like, KD, like I said, he definitely took the most hate or heat for that, however you want to phrase it. Just like LeBron did when he went to Miami.
Yeah, for sure.
Even though Chris Bosh came in with him, it was like, no, we don't like LeBron.
LeBron.
Like, LeBron made the decision. He did all this and blah, 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 blah. So, like I said, we always pick the player we want to vilify. And that normally filters out to a team.
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn has definitely, they have multiple guys who yeah. have embraced that persona with KD,
Mwahaha.
Kyrie, and Harden.
Mwahaha.
And it's just like, man, like we really don't like. Oh, God!
That was nasty.
Jesus, John.
When you're watching this live, there was an alley-oop by Trey.
And John Collins just tried to murder Joel Embiid. Looked like he knocked his contact out.
Not the contact.
But the contact?
Nasty.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh.
That's a murder.
Oh, my gosh.
In your mama house. His
contact out.
That's a murder.
He balls in contacts. That's impressive because contacts are not fun.
That lob is really unstoppable.
Ooh. Well, then, moving on.
Yeah. Let's move on because we got to get out of here a little bit.
Do you want to talk about the Clippers Utah real quick? Or
who you got winning this game?
Is Donovan playing is the question. I don't know if they've announced it. They say it's a game time decision. If Donovan plays, I say it goes 7. If not, I say Clippers in 6.
Stop touching. Thank you.
I apologize.
You're good.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's the way I lean.
Okay. Milwaukee, Brooklyn, who wins that game? I said Brooklyn in 7.
I had Milwaukee in 7 from the jump.
I had Brooklyn in 7 from the jump.
So
it won't looking like that.
I mean, it was looking like Brooklyn in 5 at first.
Right.
And then it flipped. Now we're here.
Game 7.
And I'm so disappointed in Mike Budenholzer.
Yeah, let's get to it. For a second, let's get to it. Because
Game 5 was the worst coaching job I've ever seen in my life.
Hands down.
The worst.
It was,
and Game 6 won't that better.
Worst coach I've ever seen in the NBA. In the NBA.
I said what I said.
In the NBA. For me, in the NBA. I've seen some bad things. So
true. Anyway, not going to say that. Anyway.
I've seen some bad things, but go ahead.
Game 5 was one of the worst coaching. We'll keep it to the NBA. One of the worst coached NBA games I've ever seen in my life. Nothing they did made sense.
None.
Nothing. It felt like he thought Kyrie and Harden were on the court. It felt like his eyes were tricking him, and he thought they were like 100% on the court, and he was just running his regular game plan. His regular game plan is trash already. I was disappointed the entire series. Game 5 was the culmination of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything they said they worked on in the regular season that they did against Miami, they stopped doing.
Look, man, I think it was after Game 5 I made the tweet. It might have been earlier than that. And I said, I'm disappointed in this series, not because Brooklyn is winning the way they're winning. I'm disappointed because Milwaukee is losing the way they're losing.
Facts.
Like, it has nothing to... Like, if Brooklyn won this in 5, but they still tried to go out there and make all the adjustments that we assumed they were going to make...
I would be more impressed with Brooklyn. I'd be like,
cool.
All right, cool. Brooklyn's cool. Just really that good. Tamon's right. I'm wrong. Hey, I got to live with that dunk. Like,
and then a part of me was like, okay, maybe... Shout out to TK. Maybe Brooklyn forced this. But then game 5 happened. And I was like, no.
This is not.
But what are we doing?
And Charles Barkley said it. And Charles Barkley, I rarely agree with anything Charles Barkley ever says.
We're talking about halftime?
Yeah. He was like, yo,
they're going to lose this game.
He said they're going to lose. He's like, yo, I think Milwaukee. Matter of fact, he said Milwaukee probably was going to win. But he was like, they might be the dumbest good team I've ever seen in my life. And I had to agree with him. I was like, he might be right. They might be the dumbest good team I've ever seen. And it's all because of Bud. I'm sorry. I'm not. I get it. Giannis didn't play phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I get it. Chris Middleton. I get it. Players didn't play well either. But when your game plan is trash from the jump, how much blame can I really put on players?
In fact.
Like, and once again, the thing that frustrates me the most is I watch y'all do it in the regular season. I watched you do it to Miami, a better defensive team.
Look, I sat on this show. And I told y'all, I said, look, man, I like Milwaukee, but I don't like Milwaukee that much because, yeah, they're doing all this cute stuff in the regular season, but I need to know that they're going to show up when it's time to show up. But I need to know that it's really real. I need to know.
And Greg, I would agree with you. If I hadn't watched them do it, if I had seen them and it had sputtered against Miami and they had struggled, and they beat the doors off Miami. With all these new ideas and changing their scheme and adjusting on the fly, and then they were just like, yeah, we're going to play a much better team, and we're not going to do any of that. We're just going to go back to being the same team we always were. That is the definition of stupidity.
Yeah.
Or insanity. Which one you want to pick? I go both.
It's bad, man. It's
Giannis
bad.
Should be at the 5,
yes,
like they did in game 6 finally. Brooke Lopez should not be playing more than 25 minutes. Especially not in drop coverage against Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant walking into 17 footers with the
East. The best shot in, like, bruh.
We were talking about CP3 getting easy looks. I'm trying to tell you, this is a 7-footer walking into a 16-foot shot.
Bruh.
Come on, fam.
Watched.
And that's PJ Tucker. Like, PJ Tucker is a tough defender.
He's giving him everything he got. And he's done a phenomenal job.
But he's 6'5", and KD is 7-foot.
The fact that you still haven't figured out Giannis, once again, I'm a Giannis apologist, but I'm also a Giannis realist. I am not expecting Giannis to develop a jump shot. I'm not expecting it. I'm expecting Giannis to be the most physically dominating player in the league. That's all I need him to be. In the fourth quarter, Giannis should be in the dunker spot, cutting off the weak side, or he should be setting the pick in the pick and roll. That's Giannis's job.
Yeah.
Chris and Drew are your playmakers. You got two good ones now. Two, not just one, right. Two of them.
Give him the ball, man.
Let them two run the pick and roll. Let Giannis' gravity take him to the rim and let him do what he do.
Right. And the thing about this series is, it's not that Drew or Chris have played bad.
Drew's kind of disappointed me.
Like, they haven't played bad to me in terms of, like, they've been doing, do I expect Drew to play a little bit better? Yeah. But they're not playing awful. They're not playing bad.
This is not being put in the right situations.
Chris Middleton just went for 38.
Doing his job.
I think 38, 10, and 7? Oh, wait.
I got it.
Well, with that, I'm looking at Giannis' numbers because I think Giannis had 30 and 10.
Yeah, he had
I think I mixed the numbers up.
Chris Middleton had 38, 5, and 10. Yep.
Oh, 38 and 10. Yeah, yeah.
38 and 10 with 5 assists.
Yeah, like, come on, bro. Like, he's been hooping this entire playoff.
Yeah, Chris is doing like, his
this
job.
This is his best. This is his best series.
He's doing his job. His
best run ever in the playoffs, if you ask me.
I ain't mad at him.
And so I'm like, come on, man. Like,
I'm trying to figure out why he ain't getting the ball more.
I'm like, yo, when do we give this game to? We give it to the Clippers or do we give it to Bud? Like, who we commend, who we blame? Who we commend, who do we blame? Bruh. Because I don't know.
Greg, if we walked into AmFam next week and we saw a guy walking around like James Harden was walking around, what we doing?
ISO. High screen, ISO.
ISO, high screen, pin down. He's going to move.
He got to work.
He's going to have to move. He's
gotta
we work. Get wide open shots all game long.
He's got
to
work. Now, there's one thing if I'm missing shots.
That's one thing.
We choke.
That's on cool. us. We live with
I
that.
I can take that.
But they didn't even go at him.
It was bad, man.
It made no sense.
It was bad. And then, I looked at it. It was a couple plays. And this is where a lot of people still looking at Giannis and saying, like, Giannis, what are you doing? Because there was a bunch of shoot, it was definitely one defining play. Yeah. He's on the post.
I saw that, yeah.
He's on the
that
post.
That was a bad decision.
And he shoots the fade. And it makes matters worse when Harden looks at you and waves off the help.
Facts.
I'm like, he's on one leg.
That's a bad
You one. Can't allow him to do that to you. Like, Milwaukee loses a series. They can't blow it up. They paid everybody. It's just like the only thing left to do is fire Budenholzer. That's the only move you got at this point.
And Rick Carlisle would be an excellent hire for them. But anyway, that's
I feel. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. Say what you want to say.
No, I said what I mean. Rick Carlisle would be an amazing hire for them. I think that would be great.
I feel like a lot of these coaches have looked at the landscape of some of these situations. And have kind of been their own. We talk about player empowerment. Some of these coaches got their own little empowerment thing going on. They're like, you know.
Coaches are very selective.
Like, they're like, all right. Maybe it's my time to get out of this situation.
And move to the next one.
Move to the next one.
Get ready.
Because Dallas, I didn't think Dallas was going to do all that. I didn't think Dallas was going to do all this moving. And for those who don't know, Dallas fired Donnie Nelson, longtime GM. And Rick Carlisle, who was expected to come back because that's what Mark Cuban said. Mark Cuban said at the end of the series, that's our head coach, essentially. Like, I'm not getting rid of him. Looked at that situation. He had decided that he wanted to leave the team, go into a better situation somewhere else. And he really didn't say that either. He just said he was just ready to resign. He said his time in Dallas has come to an end.
Yeah.
So whether he sits out a season, whether he looks for another situation, that's not yet to be seen. We don't really know that yet.
He's at the top of a lot of boards, though.
A lot of them. A lot. As he should be. As he should be. He's one of the better coaches of our league. But Dallas made all these moves, and a lot of his furniture changing, and haven't heard much out of Luka because
he's in Slovenia right now.
He's getting ready for the Olympics, Tokyo,
which is very interesting because I totally forgot that was happening.
Did too. At one point, I thought it wasn't happening.
Yeah,
and then
but anyway,
keep vaccines up, happen.
Keep up,
vaccines. And so,
but yeah.
So, the state of Dallas. It's kind of in flux, and this is a very, very scary moment for Mark Cuban, if you ask me. Because
yes,
he's going to sign a Supermax.
Oh, absolutely. No, nobody turns down the Supermax.
That don't mean he's staying.
That is also true.
Going back to player empowerment, talking about Luka, then you have Zion as well, but that's a whole other conversation.
Zion's
what's next? What's next?
For Dallas. First, got to find a coach.
GM or coach? Who do you find first? And what kind of coach are you trying to find? Because honestly,
GM first, then coach. You always get GM first.
I don't know what's better for Luka outside of Rick Carlisle.
I think there's. So here's the thing. Luka's so good. Luka has officially reached that it doesn't matter what system you put him in, he's producing.